Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke 2, 41 to 49. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, they were returning. The boy stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking anxiously." And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Ezra, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, "The Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. And let each survivor, in whatever place he sojourns, be assisted by the men of his place with silver and gold, with goods and beasts, besides freewill offerings for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
When I found out from Sharon that she wasn't going to be able to be here this morning, and then Jackie called and asked if I could fill in a bit, I said yes. And I think I'm praying that that's in response to God's call, because our whole message this morning is about responding to God's call. It's about a people who were exiled for 60, 70 years. And then, thanks to the goodness of this, what I think was a good king, Cyrus, king of Persia, were encouraged to return from Babylon, their exiled place, back to Jerusalem. Let's go through a little bit of history as best I can figure. Somewhere between 597 and 586 before Christ, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, conquered the southern kingdom of Judah, destroyed the capital, Jerusalem, and brought the city's population to Babylon. The distance was roughly 500 to 700 miles. It's a long, long walk. Sometime while in exile, just Jeremiah had a prophecy identified in Jeremiah 29:10. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise to bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. And if you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. 47 years after Nebuchadnezzar conquered Judah, Cyrus, who was the king of Persia, conquered Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, Babylon. And within the year, it seems, he begins to allow Jewish exiles to begin returning to Jerusalem with his decree, which we have read in Ezra. As a matter of fact, Isaiah had a prophecy about Cyrus. Some historians think it was 100 years before Cyrus. And Isaiah's prophecy reads this way. Isaiah 44:24. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord who made all things, who alone stretched out heavens, who by myself spread out the earth, who frustrates the omens of liars and makes fools of diviners, who turns back the wise and makes their knowledge foolish, who confirms the word of his servant and fulfills the prediction of his messengers, who says of Jerusalem, it shall be inherited, and of the cities of Judah, they shall be rebuilt, and I will raise up their ruins. Who says to the deep, be dry, I will dry up your rivers. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall carry out my purpose. And who says of Jerusalem, it shall be rebuilt, and of the temple, your foundation shall be laid. He continues, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. So, what do we know about this king, Cyrus? Well, For starters, we know that he wasn't a Jew. He reigned over the empire that he conquered for about 30 years, from 559 to 530 before Christ. He seems to have respected the customs and peoples of conquered lands. He treated residents of conquered lands with mercy. He may have allowed other exiles, in addition to the Jews, to return to their homelands. In short, it strikes me that Cyrus was a pretty good king. Now, what about this decree? How did it come about? Some historians think that Cyrus may have read Isaiah's prophecy and was so moved by that prophecy that he decided he would let the people of Jews return to Jerusalem, and he issued the decree. Others think that Daniel, who was also in the exile, may have had Cyrus's attention, and that Daniel convinced Cyrus to encourage Jews to return to Jerusalem. In any event, God acted, and this non-Jew, Cyrus, became an instrument of God's restoration of Jews to Jerusalem. Through Cyrus, God initiated the first of three migrations of Jews from Babylon back to Jerusalem. This first migration was also the largest, almost 50,000 people. Now, it's hard to say how long this journey took, but a second, much smaller migration noted in chapter 7 of Ezra of about 2,000 men with their families is estimated to have taken about 2 to 3 months. In addition to allowing the Jews to return to Jerusalem, Cyrus restored to these returnees the plunder that Nebuchadnezzar years before had seized from the temple in Jerusalem when Jerusalem citizens were taken to Babylon. This remnant, this 50,000 people who were returning, had a leader, Zerubbabel, a Jew, and he, with them, began the long journey from Babylon to Jerusalem. And however long it took, when they arrived in Jerusalem, the returnees began to restore the temple. It was an on and off again project, and it took almost 20 years to complete with Zerubbabel's very, very human leadership. By that I mean start, stop, start, stop, question, go back, question, listen to God, and go, and finally restore the temple. But rebuilding did not just involve the temple in Jerusalem. In chapters 9 and 10 of Ezra, Ezra confronted his people with sins they were doing at that time. This is after the second migration, a much smaller one that I mentioned was identified in Ezra 7. Ezra confronted his people with their sin, intermarriage with pagans. The Bible talks about it being a rainy day when this confrontation took place, a rainy day. And in that rain, the people confessed their sins. They actually divorced their pagan spouses and sent them away. So, what does this story, what does Ezra have to say to us today? Number one, have faith in God. And if we have faith in God, then we will trust in God. That faith and trust put into action will mean that we will do things that please our Heavenly Father, God. Number two, God's instrument of restoration may come from surprising sources. I mean, I'm sure that a year into Cyrus's rule, I don't know whether the Jews really expected him to make a decree that they could go back to Jerusalem. I think each of us can recall times when discouragement has been defeated by unexpected help from someone perhaps someone we don't even know, or a change in circumstance. God, our Father, is always aware of us individually and will provide what we need. You know, when you think of the exile, I think a lot of people here, especially those who are masked, as most of us are, think about, well, aren't we in kind of an exile today, and we're trying to come out of this exile? In a way, that's true. Of course, it didn't take the 70 years that the Jews endured, nor did it take a 2 to 3 month traveling journey back to this place of worship. But it is, nonetheless, a kind of exile that we are trying to recover from. And, yeah, around here we do have some work to do on the physical building, but just like Ezra preaching to his people on that rainy day, we are also called to rebuild other temples, the temples of our minds, our spirits, our bodies. Rebuilding requires care, not only of physical buildings and property, but much more importantly, it involves recommitment to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace. Praise the Lord. Do what God wants you to do. God bless you all.
Alleluia.
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 Amen. Amen.